Listening to the Cannabis Hangout, two girls, one bowl, and a podcast that is breaking the stigma of marijuana. My name is Brannon.
And my name is Saba. We will be connecting with a community of cannabis enthusiasts by educating people,
sharing stories from medical marijuana patients,
and interviewing industry leaders while debunking cannabis myths.
So we invite you to come roll with us
while we break it all down. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Cannabis Hangout. I'm Saab.
And I'm Brannon.
Today for our industry leader series, we are going to be talking with a local grower who has created quite a name for himself. I'd call him a craft grower because what he does is a craft in itself. We love being able to speak with the people who grow the medicine that we consume. So guys, please welcome Alex from Hermetic Flower Company to the Cannabis Hangout.
Thank you guys so much.
Hey Alex, we're so happy to have you here. And thanks for just like taking time out of your day to spend with us talking about cannabis and whatnot. So let's just dive right in and tell us, where did your cannabis journey begin?
Okay, so my cannabis journey began in Portland, Oregon, more specifically Canby. It's like right outside of Oregon City for a company called Gnome Grown Organics. They are a living soil light deprivation mainly, fully recreational grow. So they're also vertical in the sense that they own dispensaries as well. So I kind of helped transition with them from their last medical crop to the recreational market.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I get
that's a good experience.
It's a great experience. Yeah. And I did that when I was 24 years old.
Wow.
So it was kind of like get thrown into it, sink or swim style.
Yeah.
And it was definitely challenging. And that's probably why I've been able to kind of like hit the ground running in Oklahoma is because I have all of that sort of experience.
That's the best way to learn, sink or swim. You really take it all in.
Shit. So, gotta take the time.
So prior to that, what was your first time you had smoked cannabis? Do you remember your first time?
Oh, yeah.
What was it like?
I was 14 years old. I was really scared.
Wow.
Because my mom always told me how bad it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm never going to do that.
Yeah.
But then for some reason, I was with my really cool friends who I had just become friends with through like the neighborhood. So I had just moved from Springdale to Fayetteville. So like Northwest Arkansas is kind of small.
Okay.
So you kind of like get compiled all together. Northwest Arkansas. So I moved from Springdale to Fayetteville in like middle school. And that kind of created this sort of like, I have no friends.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kind of like
do what I got to do to make friends.
Yeah. I mean, you know, got to go out there and make friends, you know.
Yeah, figure it out.
And that was like what we were talking about before the show, kind of like trying to fit in and like trying to find my voice and everything. So I finally found this crowd who was kind of like, oh, yeah, you're a thug. Not really, you know. And they just, I just thought they were really cool, you know. And they were like, hey, you want to smoke this weed? And I was like, you know, I don't think I want to. And they were like, bro, come on, it's not bad, it's all organic, it's not gonna hurt you.
They said organic when you were 14.
That's what they said. That's
wow.
what they
Crazy.
Said. Now my friend Caleb Pfeiffer, his father Randy Pfeiffer, was a truck driver, and during his times off would be smoking really good flower, and that's kind of where we got that from.
Oh.
Was through his father, but he hated it. He absolutely hated it. And so I wanted to fit in so bad, and I was like, I'm going to fucking smoke this shit, and I don't want to be like a fucking pussy. I don't want to be known as the guy that wimped out, you know. I'm already kind of small, skinny guy, like, okay, light that shit up and let's go. And so we smoked it, and then my buddy Austin and my other buddy Caleb, we got in this Tahoe, and they had a fucking sunroof, and I jumped through the sunroof, and it's just so cliche. It's one of those ones where I'm like, like, yes, this is it. And you know,
I'm picturing this.
Alex's hands are way up in the air just for you guys who can't see him right now.
And it was so stupid. And we went to Walgreens to get Roto eye drops. And I just remember walking really slow. And I was like, gravity's fucked. Like, we're on the moon. It was so cliche, but it was just one of those times where, like, I opened up and I was being me for the first time in a long time. And I think that's why I resonated with cannabis so much. And from that point on, I either had to have it, was dealing with it, and the only time I wasn't was in the Navy.
Wow. All right. Yeah. That's a great introduction
that
story.
That really was. Really sets the tone for what this podcast is going to be like.
That's great.
So, Alex, first tell us, how long have you been growing? And at what point did you realize growing was more than just a calling, but your passion and livelihood, and that you were freaking good at it?
Okay. So, when I got to Oregon, I had this preconceived idea that hydroponic was the shit. Mm-hmm. I really didn't know much about cultivation at all, actually.
Okay.
And to go back, I've only been growing for 5 years.
Okay.
I've only been involved with in the cannabis industry, legally doing this sort of thing for 5 years.
Wow.
So I get into Oregon and they are explaining to me these things that I've just like kind of always thought about, but never really was able to put together.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Like wrap your mind around.
Right, and I want to kind of give credit to the Navy for this, because they put this sort of discipline in me that was able to, like, I was able to focus more.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was put in these sort of manual labor things that I always hated doing and, like, would yell at my parents for,
mm-hmm.
I sort of had this perception of, like, oh, wait a second, there's something here that I want to learn. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that magnetism that you don't quite know exactly what it is, you're drawn to it, and you go exactly for it. Does that make sense? About anything?
Yeah. Yes.
So I knew, like, I liked cannabis. Mm-hmm. I knew, like, I liked to smoke it. I knew why I liked the way it made me feel, mm-hmm. by myself, with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I knew that. But getting to the cultivation side and just having my whole perception ripped apart of what I thought good was.
Yeah.
And then learning through experience, what now I think.
It's kind of hard to swallow and then like figure out, right?
Yeah, it was very much an ego check in the way that's like, holy shit, there's a whole world going on behind the scenes that I'm not aware of. And like, I'm vegan vegetarian now, and I never was before. I grew up eating McDonald's SpaghettiOs out of a can.
Yeah.
I never really thought about health at all. My mental health was terrible.
Yeah.
I went through a lot of shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so getting to Nome Grown and learning the organic side, and at Nome, I wasn't just growing cannabis.
Yeah.
We were growing sunflowers, pollinator gardens, and
that's
we were
cool.
growing like edible gardens.
Wow.
So it's a lifestyle.
Yeah. And so lifestyle.
I started to become engulfed in this lifestyle, and I was like, wait a second. I've been living my life all wrong. And that's the beauty in it. And I was like, holy shit, now I know where I can direct all this energy I have, all this, whatever this is.
That you don't know what to do with.
I have all this. I don't know, you know, and then it was starting to like a pyramid. All these both pieces were coming together. I had two great mentors, the guy that like brought me to Nome.
Amazing.
And then
cool.
And then Dan, my master grower, right? And I just had this connection with them that was like, you know, both father figure and both mentors.
That's
and so
cool.
I balanced between the two.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I feel like it's hard.
It's playful.
You're lucky if you find one mentor that you really jive with, but you got blessed with two, which is like, that's awesome.
It's crazy.
That's
crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So transitioning from that then, tell us a little bit about your grow then and what you do for those who do not know.
Okay, so my grow is essentially based around the Hermetic philosophy.
Okay.
And so I'll start out with like just telling you kind of our basic practices.
Yeah.
So we are an all organic, living soil based grow.
Love that.
We're also a vertical based. So, and not in the sense we have a dispensary, but in the sense of our tiers. So we have pallet racks stacked on top of each other with two levels of growing.
Cool.
I'm under LEDs, which means that I can manipulate the photon that hit the canopy.
Okay.
And then I also grow with the moon cycles. So that would be like my astrological moon cycles.
That's cool.
It's really unique. That's very unique. And then on top of that, we're worm farmers. So we kind of do this whole build our compost on site thing.
That's really freaking cool.
I love it. Wow. It's your little lifestyle. It's like your little habitat you got going on over there.
So far, yeah. So far.
That's awesome.
It's
so
a good foundation.
I have to mention this because it's not something someone's heard prior. Or it's not something I had heard prior to the interview, but you messaged us talking about hermetics. What is that?
So, okay, yeah. So the hermetic philosophy dates back, argumentatively, either to late antiquity or to the first century. So we know for a fact that it was the hermetic corpus was written within the first century just based on, like, the dialect of, like, the wordplay, if that makes sort of sense. Yeah. That's just, like, how they talked during that time.
Okay.
But then there's arguments that go back to be like, well, if they're writing about it then and it's so well known, then it has to be more ancient.
Yeah.
And so the reason why I pick up on the hermetic philosophy is because I believe that it was what evolved Western thought evolved from and philosophy evolved from. And you can kind of trace it through the Renaissance period through the Medici family, and they sent out all these people to go find and recover these ancient books all throughout the land. And this was like talks of like Plato. So this was the first time Plato was translated and like brought back to life. Sorry, I gotta get water.
Yeah, go for
get
it.
Water.
Storytelling.
And so this guy Ficino came across the hermetic corpus, and actually, this is how profound it is. The Medici family said, where they were in the middle of translating Plato, and he said, stop everything. We need to translate this first. And they were like, what is it? It's the hermetic corpus. And so the hermetic corpus is a body of knowledge attributed to Hermes Trismegistus, who is the Hermes of Greek philosophy, Mercury okay. of Rome, and then Thoth of ancient Egypt. So these kind of personifications play within the whole world of philosophy in general, right? Uh-huh. And through different cultures. And so there's this alchemist, his name is Bruno, and he was smoking some hash, some Moroccan hash in Italy, and they actually burned him at the stake for having these profound thoughts about the universe. And so this was kind of falling into the heliocentric model. Do you know Copernicus?
No.
This is like when they started to like kind of dabble in the sun is the center,
okay,
and not
yeah.
Earth. Yes. And it was like at a time when if you say anything against the church, you're going to
off with
die.
Your head.
You're going to die. Yeah. And so like he ends up getting burned at the stake. And so, and he was an alchemist, and the alchemy stems from hermeticism, and that's where you get modern chemistry and stuff like that. So
okay.
I believe that cannabis, the spiritual side, and the philosophy side are the unifiers that we need to kind of progress as a society. And so that kind of falls into my psychedelic thing too, because I believe cannabis is a mild psychedelic, and I would like to treat it like that, and kind of like use that as the catalyst for inner engineering. So that's what I do with the brand. I kind of try to incorporate both things. So it's like not just the organic, not just the LED, you know, not just that sort of science, but sort of like this ancient science that's like based around, you know, the scientific method, but not in a sense that's profane, in a sense that's like searching for God instead of moving away from God. And God as in like source or oneness, not God as in Catholicism, more like oneness, unity.
Okay.
Wow.
That's good.
That was very beautifully said, honestly.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. So with strains, do you have certain ones that you run consistently, or do you like to explore and adventure out with strains for your patients?
Okay, so right now, since we are in the third round, I'm definitely like searching and exploring for certain cultivars that express certain traits. So I manipulate with that, with my LEDs, right? I'm able to manipulate my environment a little bit better. Yeah. So I run what's called a low VPD, or vapor pressure deficit. Essentially, it's the way that plants sweat.
Oh.
And so by mimicking that, I kind of like try to reflect the Himalayan mountain range, which is kind of like Nepal, OGs. Yeah. OG Afghanistan, the mountain ranges over there, kind of where OGs come from, which I believe to be more medicinal. So I kind of search through lineage a little bit, not much.
Yeah.
Kind of half and half.
Yeah.
I'll go through lineage and I'll pick certain things, and then I'll go a lot of like taste, smell, those sorts of things as I come across them through like clones.
Yes.
Or like gifts that people want to give me, that sort of thing. And so if when That's I mimic cool. that in our environment, it's either going to explode and do really well or it's not. And so the stuff that doesn't, I kind of like get rid of really quickly.
So do you have a strain that like you've nailed every single time? Or you think you've nailed every single time?
No.
No?
I would say I'm working towards like nailing the Wedding Crasher, and it's like a pretty easy cultivar to get right. But when you transition from demographic to demographic for like your growing, it's hard to get balanced in a new area. So it's going to take me a while to kind of like figure that out and then figure my plant relationship out.
Yeah.
Each cultivar has a different relationship.
That's so interesting.
And you gotta, like any relationship, you know, you have to adapt and develop that.
Yeah. So cool. Wow. I have a really quick question. This is kind of backtracking a little bit, but you said, so you grew flower for the medical side and the rec side, right?
Yeah.
Is there, so we obviously don't have that here. There's not a difference.
No.
Okay. But they just have each side. Okay, cool.
The whole reason they do that is so, like in, so in Oregon, right, there's benefits to still being a medical patient.
Mm-hmm.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
It's just like a great discount.
Yeah.
But you still have to pay for your card and all that stuff, you know? So the only thing that rec does is open it up to other end consumers.
Gotcha.
And now, I mean, you look at it, right? Medical spreads like wildfire. People are talking about it. Mm-hmm. And you're having people who would never try it, who are now thinking that like, I want to try it, but I don't have any like preconceived ailments or illnesses, you know, so you're like, I'm just going to wait, and they're waiting.
Yeah.
And so that's the cool aspect. And then, but the bad aspect is like, then it becomes more volume over quality.
Yes.
That's not always it.
Yeah.
So what would you say has been one of the most fulfilling thing about growing medicine for people who love your flower?
The most fulfilling is, like the other day, I walked into a dispensary at Flight 420, and this guy ran around the corner, and he was like, "I'm a huge fan of what you do."
That's so cool. And
all this stuff like really helps my wife, and like, and I just was just having a shit week, and just like feeling like shit, and just getting caught up in like daily stressors, right? Like we all do. And then that moment, it didn't. And he was like, "It's an honor, you know." And I'm like, "Dude, no, the honor's mine right now. Like, you are filling me up." And I think moments like that are when I have the most fulfillment, because I'm really feel like I'm helping people.
Yes.
And it's cool, you know, and I want to help people. So it's like that symbiotic relationship where you're like, "Ah, oh, that's why we do it." You know, I don't do it for the trolls or the negativity, you know, that even we get caught up in, you know, and like, I'm one of those ones that kind of gets triggered sometimes by that.
Yes.
It's like, no, stop. This feeling, this fulfillment.
Yes.
This is success. Then it's this is what I want
to do. For someone to say to you, and especially it being in person too.
Yeah. It's such it's a whole different kind of high.
Yeah, totally.
It's a whole different kind of high.
Totally.
I love that. So tell us a little bit about your team and the people you surround yourself and your girls with. What goes into bringing people on, and what's your tell to decide whether you want to bring somebody on your team or not?
Gosh, that's such a great question. Right now, since I'm like super lean startup, like I'm very focused on like, prior I was like, who has helped me the most in my life that's like, I can like have the opportunity to help now.
Right.
My guy Jeremy and Matt, they have been with me since we were in Sicily stationed there.
Wow.
And they were like, Jeremy was my boss in the Navy.
Oh,
and Matt,
cool.
Matt I stood guard with on gate. So it's like, that's a different relationship all within itself. So I feel as though I'm like, man, they really helped me through some hard times that like, I don't know if I, you know what I mean? I don't know what would have happened. So I feel as if like I owe it to myself to make sure that they're kind of taken care of. And then next would be my buddy Eric, who's been my best friend since 15. And I really feel like, I'm like, dude, I have to take care of you.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you're I want to help, but I also like, you need to work hard because of the respect and the pride and the integrity of the company. So I kind of go off that.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob, who is the newest who was the newest member, just came in there and he hit me up over Instagram and was like, hey, I love your message. I'm interested in the Hermetic philosophy. I work at a different grow, but I'm about to get laid off for COVID. And COVID started. He's like, do you have any openings? And I'm like, man, I would love to talk to you. I don't have any openings right now, but give me a second.
Yeah.
And he waited. And sure as shit, summertime came and I hit him up and I was like, hey man, it's that time. He's like, yeah, come on.
Hell yeah. And that is so cool.
It's cool. It more or less happens organically.
Yes.
I just let it happen organically. And in the beginning I was trying to force it.
Mm-hmm.
And
then you let go.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I've had to fire like 5 people and I'm not one to be you're fired, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's not me. I don't want to fire people.
It doesn't sound
you're
like
fired.
You.
Yeah, I don't want
to. You're fired.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Just text it to him. You're fired. I don't want to do that. You know, I would rather help people build and be like, you know, let me see the best in you. And that's where I get in trouble is like that aspect. And so now I've had to like learn.
Yeah.
And let it happen organically.
Yeah.
If something happens, you got to cut it off. It's, it's business. It's not just friendship and family, which is like the kind of what happens organically anyway.
The attachment you kind of get.
Oh,
But especially like wanting to take care of everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Because that in itself is a stressor.
Yeah.
It becomes your second family.
Yeah.
You gotta treat it like a relationship.
Right. Yeah.
Boundaries, you know?
Yes.
Boundaries.
So what would you say has been like the most difficult or like biggest learning curve in being in the market just here in Oklahoma? Dun, dun, dun. If you think it's more like medicinal, like what do you?
I think the largest issue in every market is breaching the educational barrier to end consumers.
Yes.
And I think.
Good answer.
Yeah, great answer.
And I think that our best line of defense is the dispensaries. And I think that if dispensaries and dispensary owners understood that by helping people, they will make more money.
Yes.
And they don't need to focus on the greed part. But if they focus on actually helping people, more people come to you because you're helping people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we can all succeed. And that's right. That's the hardest thing.
Based
that's
with the knowledge. Hardest thing.
Is how can we all succeed with the right education and the right approach in a way that changes capitalism?
Yes. Yeah.
Because we can do it.
Right. That's good. That's really good.
So as a grower, are you protective over who carries your flower and the people who are representing your flower based on your behalf and how they're educating people?
Yes, I am.
I love that. That's a good way
to
do
it.
Sucks. And it sucks sometimes because it can get me in a bind, but you know what? I don't care. At the end of the day, like, and that's another thing I've had to develop is like business, political relationships, business friendships, and then business anomalies. And it's you categorize it, right? And it's like, okay, who can I afford to carry my flower that maybe like maybe they don't respect it the way that it should? Like I have to be able to balance it out or else maybe I won't succeed. And I do want to stay alive because I want the message of what I'm doing to get out, right?
So
it kind of falls under that, like, I have to do my research, but I also have to rely on other people's words. I have to rely on patience. I have to rely on this sort of thing. And that sort of thing can kind of get mixed up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So sometimes I get in trouble for it and I own it. And some other times it works out for me really well. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, what a great relationship.
Yeah. Honestly, it's okay to be like that. I know Flower of Life is like that. And they only work with a handful of dispensaries because they only want people pushing their flower that are going to educate I think it's beautiful. I think it's
I feel like you should
so
be that
cool.
way.
Yeah,
you know, you should. That's what makes good growers and good medicine. Sometimes you know,
absolutely.
You get that pushback, and I'm telling you, as someone who like takes criticism a little hard sometimes,
I'm
like, damn, did I make the right decision? And then something happens, and I'm like, yeah, I did.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
that day where I, like that day out, like last week when that guy ran around the corner.
Yeah, that was so reassuring.
Prior to that, I had just walked into a dispensary that I had driven 4 hours to, and they didn't even know who I was, and they didn't even look at the flower, and they said, we will never carry that. And I was like, sir, like, you don't even know who I am.
Yeah, no, for sure.
One of those, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, cool. Okay, cool. No worries. And then I left, went down the street to Advanced Wellness to get a joint because I was like, I need a fucking cool.
Yeah.
I just drove 4 hours for this.
Yeah.
And as soon as I walked in, something like the fan thing happened.
Yeah.
It's like an interaction, and I'm like, yeah, okay, this is why I came off. This is why I drove.
The interaction was waiting for you too. Yeah. It was like just what it was going to happen, what you needed.
I was so jazzed after that, and I was like, yeah, okay. Cool.
That's awesome. We love to hear it. Yeah. So what is something you would tell someone who's looking to grow, whether it be for a personal stash or a big grow op?
Do your research, but pick somebody that you like, either a person or an entity that you truly believe in. And when I say believe in, morally, ethically, not just line up with your ideologies, whether it's like scientific based or philosophy based, like really like look into it and see if that's what's right for your lifestyle.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. It's so freaking good.
You are so well spoken.
I know.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So as a grower, Alex, what's something that you think that could be improved here in Oklahoma's medical market? We were talking about testing earlier. I know that's always a thing.
Testing can definitely be improved upon.
Yeah.
But I also think the integrity of companies. And that can be said in any industry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really pride myself on being transparent to the point where it's like I pre-sold out. I had half my crop failed testing. Mm-hmm. And I had to tell everybody. Like, I didn't want to do it individually.
Yeah.
I want to tell everybody because people have been waiting. It's like one of those things that eats at you if you don't say.
Yeah.
For me, if I don't say anything, I won't sleep at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's that sort of integrity that I'm like, we should be transparent because it makes us better.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us better as an industry.
Absolutely.
And like, that's the reason why
working together.
Exactly. And that's the reason why you see like larger companies get a lot of like backlash later on is because their integrity crumbles and it's like they're not built on a good foundation.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, why did you support them anyway?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know. And it's like, oh yeah, ignorance is the enemy of all.
Yes, yes. Say that louder.
Yeah. Louder for the people on the back.
I'm good on that.
So we like to ask everyone this question, but what's a stigma you would like to change revolving around cannabis?
The social aspect. We need to stop getting together and watching TV. We need to get together and talk about ideas, progressive ideas, and we need to let cannabis kind of use it as a tool and not as something to get high. It should be a tool, and we should respect it as a tool.
Yeah. Alex, that was...
I know. So well spoken.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
I love that. Yeah. Well, I think this wraps up our episode for today. Alex, is there anything else that we missed or you want to add before we hop off here?
No, I really appreciate you guys having me on. It's been fun. And if anything ever happens again and you see it out there in the industry and you want to talk about it, I would love to come on here and talk about it.
Okay.
Because if it's a safe platform and you think it can be spoken well, I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Cool. Whether up and you guys want to fucking dish on me,
all right.
Like, I'm cool with that because people need to talk about their faults as much as they talk about their successes. So.
Yeah, hell yeah. I respect that so much.
I love that. No, we would be happy to have you on again.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we'll link up with that. Well, wow. Thanks so much for being here. That was such a great conversation.
Yes.
I can't wait for people to hear it.
I know. We are so excited. And thank you so much for taking time out of your day and sharing your beautiful bud with us. It was...
You guys as well. I really appreciate
A1.
It.
A1.
Thanks, Alex. So stay tuned for next week's episode. And as always,
stay medicated.